You don't belong here, do you?
Your skin color and name are used as ways of measuring if you're American.
Police officers, knowing full well what probable cause they need, just ignored the law and took the law in their own hands.
She said the police officer grabbed her arm and forced her to sit on the curb until she finally convinced them she was a citizen.
Authorities use reports with some information completed in advance, such as nationality, Mexican, skin color, medium.
Hi, and welcome to our first episode. We're from the Undocumented Families Lab at Arizona State University, and this is the History is Written with an I podcast. We're your hosts, Maureen
and Jaylene,
and we're so excited to discuss today's topic with you all.
For the first part of the semester, we have been spending almost every Wednesday afternoon trying to learn about what it means to be both an undocumented person in the United States, as well as what it means to be a part of an undocumented family in the United States.
Or if you do want to get technical about it, and Jaylene, we do, what it means to have been both an undocumented person and family in July 1997 in Chandler, Arizona, and whether federal or state authorities have the authorization to decide if such a person or family was.
This time period and overall idea of being undocumented feels undignified on our part.
We had to ask ourselves and others, what does it mean to be an undocumented person? What is it like to be a part of an undocumented family in the U.S.? What does an undocumented person look like? Why does it matter to be an undocumented person? And how does this relate to Chandler, Arizona in the late 1990s, before most of us were all born? Sorry, professors.
And we're not detectives or private investigators.
Oh, we're not even reporters.
But yes, every Wednesday this semester, we've tried to figure out what undocumentation is and how it applies to families.
Before we get into why we have been doing this, we need to point out something most of us never really thought about. And that is, for most of us, it's really hard to envision what it's like to be undocumented on a regular basis. Literally and figuratively, but most like literally.
How do you obtain documentation? What happens if you lose documentation? What does documentation mean outside of buying alcohol or getting on a plane? The entirety of documentation seems so silly, and in that, when it's necessary, it seems so important.
Yeah, outside of the need for documentation at the right time and or moment, it seems almost frivolous to those who do have it.
Now imagine, you don't have documentation. And not just for going out for drinks at Postino's. But that's the situation in the story we're about to tell that happened back in July of 1997. From the firsthand accounts from the Border Patrol.
Let's dive in. To help us understand the story, we're going to reference information from the Los Angeles Times as reported in 2010. Chandler Police Reports, the U.S. Border Patrol Reports, and the U.S. Supreme Court 2012 discussion on the Arizona Law SB 1070, the Support Our Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act, all in line with how the Border Patrol acted within the context of the Chandler Roundup and fits into SB 1070. Thinking back to what was going on in the world and the United States in 1997, there was a lot going on.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was published.
Princess Diana was killed in a crash.
The movie Titanic came out and changed the way in which we view movies.
Ellen DeGeneres came out as gay.
And the Chandler's neighbor city, Tempe, Arizona, was just fresh off hosting Super Bowl 30 in 1996. At our beloved Sun Devil Stadium.
Whoop whoop, go Devils! However, during the same time frame, a little-known local event involving the local residents occurred.
This event took on federal precedent without federal authority.
The event we are referencing is known as the Chandler Roundup.
The Chandler Roundup occurred in July of 1997, when local police in Chandler, Arizona, a suburb of Phoenix, Arizona, worked in conjunction with Border Patrol to demand proof of citizenship from citizens and non-citizens alike.
Those who were asked to demonstrate citizenship included children walking home from school, grandmother shopping at the market, and employees driving to work, according to the Los Angeles Times.
And at the end of the Chandler roundup, 432 were undocumented people were arrested and deported. However, not all of them were non-citizens, as reporting and legal documents would later show. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, these people just didn't have their documentation on them.
Now, let's take a moment to reflect on this. How many of us really carry our documentation of United States citizenship on us at all or ever?
I know most of us, including me, we're lucky if we can find our student ID for a discount on drinks at CASA.
Yeah.
But for the majority of us, we usually just carry around a state documentation, such as a driver's license, and maybe sometimes a social security card or its equivalent for non-US citizens.
More so, what constitutes documentation as a U.S. citizen usually involves something like a birth certificate, like you said, passport, passport card, or naturalization paperwork, which honestly is a kind of a pain in the ass to carry around in comparison to a state driver's license, which does not even constitute citizenship or U.S. documentation status.
Further, when most of us are stopped by authorities, it's literally local or state police, not federal authorities such as Border Patrol.
So, looking at why the Chandler roundup occurred, from both the Los Angeles Times reporting and the U.S. Supreme Court briefing, it is clear that the local police are tasked with keeping neighborhoods and communities safe by building trust within the communities they police.
Safety on a federal level includes looking at all federal law, such as Civil Rights Act of 1964, which in short states that there will be federal prohibition against exclusion from participation in denial of benefits and of discrimination under federally assisted programs on ground of race, color, or national origin.
And as one of the readings we read was the Supreme Court briefing 11-182. It discusses the Chandler roundup along with new at the time, and now repealed, SB 1070, the Support Our Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act, which gave local, city, county, and state police in the state of Arizona the authority to ask for proof of citizenship from anyone, violating the Civil Rights Act and more so reinforcing systematic and erroneous, unconstitutional behavior directed at Hispanic people.
Thus, the need for federal authorities to come in and police neighborhoods with local police feels, how do we say this academically, awkward, unwanted, weird, and more so untrustworthy of what local police hope that neighborhoods would do and care for themselves.
And it is taking local law enforcement and shifting them from fighting crime to enforcing federal immigration rules, which may result in communities feeling less safe on both the local and federal levels. Or, as a local police report states, Anderson said he did not hand out nor recite Chandler police policies concerning illegal aliens at the briefing he attended, but simply told the officers that the Border Patrol would handle arrests for immigration violations, and Chandler officers should only stop persons based on probable cause that a state or local crime was committed.
And yet, the Chandler roundup created problems for the local law enforcement to implement national immigration policy as set forth by Congress, aka the Border Patrol.
Further, in a local police report, Ron Sanders, chief patrol agent of the Borders Patrol Tucson sector, said he was unaware of Chandler police enforcing immigration law during July 1997 operation.
Yet, according to federal reports, about 10% of those contacted during the first 3 hours of the operation claimed to be legal residents of the U.S. Officer France said those with no immigration documents required checking via Tucson sector communications, quote.
Again, we hate to repeat this, but some of the people who were deported during the Chandler roundup were legal citizens. They literally just didn't have their documentation on them, and it had to take away time from local law enforcement and neighborhood safety to check documentation.
Like most of us.
Gosh, like me right now.
Okay, but Sam, also, why are passports so expensive?
85% of undocumented individuals live in mixed families where at least one individual is considered lawful.
Community-based policing is an effective tool, and the local police build effort to encourage cooperation with reduction of crimes.
And yes, being in the U.S. as an undocumented person is unlawful and is a crime. But we need to ask ourselves, would we rather have an undocumented person who is Mexican, skin color medium, hair color black, and occupation as laborer, as we initially started this podcast with, on the streets in Chandler, Arizona, or a rapist?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. At least by giving local authorities the ability to enforce federal laws, it takes away from local policing and safety.
And per the Supreme Court briefing, by hampering local law enforcement efforts, not only did the Chandler Roundup, by way SB 1070, can hamper local law enforcement efforts and frustrate congressional national immigration policy and policing.
And also, the Chandler Roundup and SB 1070 undermine the enforcement efforts of local law officials by turning them into untrustworthy immigration officers and promoting impermissible racial profiling.
Yeah, and we can keep going on and on and on about this.
Yup.
And which we'll do probably in our next podcast discussing the impact on families. But what we should take away here is what makes the Chandler Roundup unique. The local authorities worked in conjunction with federal authorities in the policing of people's citizenship status.
And citizenship status, which none of us regularly carry on us most of the time, even for drinks at Pastino's.
So, as a community, let's reflect. Do any of us belong here without full proof of citizenship at all times?
Or do we want our skin color and our surname used as ways of measuring if we are American or not? Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next episode.
Bye.